Has it ever happened to you? It's happened to me, I suppose, to put it kind of plainly, that God has not lived up to your expectations, or perhaps he's not moved fast enough for you. That might be a better way to put it. That's where we find ourselves sometimes in life when we know what we prayed for and what we desire and what we're looking for. We understand the ideal vision of how we might want things to be, either on a personal level or on a global level. We know what it is in our heads, but it hasn't come to pass just yet. There's this middle zone. There's an ache that we find ourselves living through when we realize, I've asked for this, I'm looking for this, I've worked for this, I want this, but it is not here yet. It's a hard place to be. And oftentimes we do put God in that box. God, I want this, where are you? When will it happen on my timeline, not yours? That's a common tension of life. You might say that that sort of tension, the ache of the not yet, of God perhaps not living up to our timeline and expectations, is a pretty good way to characterize the thread of the Advent season. And indeed, that thread runs all the way through this third Sunday, this Gaudete, Rejoicing Sunday. It runs through the whole Mass tonight, really, if you could pick it out through all the parts of it. In fact, it might be good to do so. Yes, we are at the halfway point this weekend of our season of preparation, and this year we have 4 full weeks of Advent. It doesn't happen too often, so we have a long time of waiting. And this is the middle. We're in the middle tonight. No one likes the middle, just the way it goes. In fact, I'm donned in rose tonight, and the rose candle is lit because the church for centuries has celebrated the middle. Because we're going, are we there yet? The answer is not quite. But put on rose and forget about it. You'll be there soon. The idea, right? Even the antiphons. You know, we heard the entrance antiphon from Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. The Lord is near. Well, near and here are not the same thing. He's almost here, but not quite. Rejoicing is certainly in order, but we're not finished. The communion antiphon, we're going to pick it up later, is from Isaiah 35. In fact, it's taken also from our first reading for tonight. It's the idea that God is going to do something. He will do it. Another promise. Hasn't happened yet. Almost. Going through the readings quick, too. Same idea of the almost, the ache of expectations not quite fulfilled on our timeline. Isaiah 35, lovely promises about all that God wants to do. A lot of healing talk, a lot of talk about deserts breaking open into flowers and blooming. That's great. Very strong, beautiful words from this ancient prophet about how God is going to do tremendous things in Israel. Tremendous things. Great things. Make Israel great again, if I may borrow the cliche. But anybody listening at the time would have wondered why or when, because right at the same time this is being proclaimed, their neighbors to the north, the Assyrians, a really nasty military power, had just basically made their territory a vassal of their own. They'd lost their freedom, the Israelites had, right when this happened, and they were never going to get it back until almost to today. They had never were a free territory ever again. So a person listening to this, knowing the news headlines of the day, on one hand, the awful sadness about the situation, they'd lost their country, pretty much. And then hearing Isaiah, on the other hand, going, you're going to be great. They're going to think to themselves, well, when? That's not going to happen in my lifetime. And indeed, it didn't. They didn't see the end, but it was a great promise, to be sure. So there they were in the middle, you might say. Second reading from St. James. What does he say? Be patient. No one likes to be told to be patient. But that's what he says. And he says, the last verse we heard tonight from this chunk of text, not only should you be patient, but think about the prophets, he said. This is your encouragement. None of them got to see the fruition of what they promised. That's a discouraging thought on one level. And it's true, isn't it? Look at all the Old Testament prophets. They all preached, just like Isaiah did tonight. Not one of them ever saw what they promised come to fulfillment. They all died before it happened. Interesting thing to contemplate. Work and work and work and work, preach and preach, pray and pray, and you go to your death never seeing the vision finalized. But you did believe in it, much to your credit. Which brings us to the gospel. That thread is through the same gospel tonight too, this idea of not quite yet. It's heartbreaking tonight, frankly. John the Baptist is again at center stage. He always is on the third Sunday of Advent every single year. And this time, Matthew gives this little interesting story from way out into the gospel now. We're in chapter 11 tonight, and what happens? John's messengers come to the Lord. John is in prison. He is going to die, and he frankly knows it. That's probably a fact for this poor man. And the disciples of John, which means he had a pretty big following, come to Jesus and say, "Are you it? I mean, are you the one?" So as if there's some question, Jesus says, "Well, look around you. The sick are being cured, the deaf are able to hear, the blind can see, the poor are hearing the good news." So, and without really saying it, yes, I'm it. And then he ends with this little interesting comment, "And blessed are those who are not scandalized by me." Go tell John that. Why this exchange? Well, a similar reason. If you're John, you know that from your birth, you spent your entire life preparing for the coming of the Promised One. You want to see the kingdom. You have fasted, you have prayed, you have worn camel's hair and eaten locusts for days in the desert, which must have been awful, frankly. I can't imagine a diet like that. And now you're in jail, and you know that you're not going to live to see it come to fruition. You're going to die in a crummy prison because the king was having an affair with some woman he shouldn't have been having an affair with. That's how it came down to in the end. John's thinking, what a waste of a life. I'm not going to get to see it. So, disciples, is he it? He had better be it, because this is how I'm going to end up. It's a heartbreaking scene, frankly. John hears Jesus' words, "Don't be scandalized by me," and he's reassured by them. I'm convinced he went to his grave full of trust and full of hope as a martyr, and we venerate him as such. But the point is, any prophet has a moment or a day when they go, this is frustrating. My prayers are not being answered on my timeline. Is God meeting my expectations? John thought, probably not right now. So that's the thread through the entire Mass. Almost there, but not quite. Which brings me back to my first question when I began. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've asked for something, prayed for something, preached for something, taught for something, worked for something, looked for something, and it's just not there yet? You're in that middle zone of almost, and it's a frustrating, heartbreaking, annoying, longing place to be. And if you have ever been there, you sound like most folks who talk to me. "Father, I don't understand why I have cancer. I don't understand why I lost my job. I don't get why my kids won't talk to me anymore. I don't understand why, you know, my company laid me off, or why we had to do this or that. All these things seem to be happening. I don't know where God is. I'm praying and praying and praying. He's not acting." And most of the time, resolve that tension by giving in to things it shouldn't give in to. Temptations. Any addict is a person who can't live in the tension of something unresolved. You medicate by eating, drinking, looking at pornography, gambling, whatever. That's all trying to fix the tension of the not yet. That's what sin is. You all, by now, know that I am another person who does not sit with the tension of things unresolved. I want things fixed now. That is my temperament. I cannot stand the middle zone. So if you are like me, the question is, have you found yourself in this little middle zone? And the answer is yes. And the response is, good. You're supposed to be there. I dare say that if we ask ourselves the question, well, if we're in that little middle zone, what should we do about it? I'll give you an answer which will be, I suppose, equally unsatisfying. But it is the right answer. The answer is, stay there. Be patient, as St. James says. Wait, as the Church says. Because the reality, going back to the whole thread I just unwound for you, is this. It's amazing how much work God did in that middle zone. They didn't see it. They didn't understand. It was all happening below the surface or in ways that were going to come to fruition later, but God is extremely busy in, we think, our down times. We're convinced he's on coffee break, and the fact is he's working overtime. That's how God always does it. So he says to us over and over again, in the zone of the middle, in the zone of the not yet, in the zone of you realizing you're not going to see it come to completion, I am doing tremendous work. I'm working in your hearts. I'm working in your homes. I'm working in your marriages. I'm working on your kids. I'm working on your friendships. I'm working on your budgets. I'm working on your nation. I'm working on whatever you think I'm not working on. I am working on. And I can only do it when you think I'm not working on it. So calm down, God often says to me and to you. The church says to us, every year, church, we need this period of not yet. Advent is perfect for a bunch of people like myself who want things fixed immediately. The church says you cannot have it that way. Because if that happens, then you leave God no room, no gap, no doorway to rush in and actually do something. God wants to work, and he can't if you're going too fast and far ahead of him. So, unsatisfying as it might be on one level, we need Advent. We need this third Sunday, this time in the middle that nobody seems to like. We need it desperately for our soul's healing and for the fullness of salvation to be brought about in beautiful, extraordinary, and often very unplanned ways. So God's answer to Isaiah, to James, to John the Baptist, to us is the same. Blessed are you who are not ashamed of me and my timeline. Blessed are you who are not ashamed and scandalized by my workings, not yours. By my salvation, not yours. Blessed are you who can wait and hang in there in the gap while I do my work. What's our resolution then for tonight? For a third Sunday? It is to wait. To be people who wait. Knowing that as we do, God is doing extraordinary things. Working out his beautiful plan of salvation.